So this morning is the second episode in my series based on this book that I read last year, Catherine Campbell's God Isn't Finished With You Yet. It's stories from the Bible of people in difficult situations, and it highlights how God brings glorious transformation to people and communities. The book offers hope and encouragement that to people especially who feel God has given up on them. I think perhaps we all need hope and encouragement at times, for ourselves, for those we love, for the world. So in January, I preached about Abigail in the Old Testament, about perseverance, about finding contentment, about doing the best she could in the situation she was in. Today, I'm looking at failure. I'm looking at John Mark in the New Testament. So, slightly confusingly, sometimes in the New Testament, John Mark's called John. Sometimes he's called Mark. Sometimes he's called John Mark. And sometimes he's called John, also known as Mark. That's all one person, just a few different names. I'll just throw that in, because as you hear bits, you might hear different variations of his name. So, let's hear about him. Ernie is going to do our Bible reading for us, reading from the book of Acts.
There. Please. Thank you. My name's Ernie Smith, and it's my privilege to read two very short passages from the New Testament on the book of Acts. The first one is from Acts 13, verse 13, and it says, "From Paphos, Paul and his companions sailed to Perga in Pamphylia, where John Mark left them to return to Jerusalem." Now, a little bit later on in Acts chapter 15, verses 35 to 41, it says, "But Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, where they and many others taught and preached the word of the Lord. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing.' Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it wise to take him, because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work that they were doing. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers of the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches." Amen.
Thanks, Ernie. Thank you. I thought it was important we heard both bits. So, today's about failure, and I have to say there were times this week when I just thought, oh, do I just stand up and say I've tried writing a sermon and I've failed? Because that would have been a whole heap easier, I tell you. The definition of failure from the dictionary is a lack of success or the inability to meet an expectation. It's so easy, perhaps even as you just hear the word failure, if you're anything like me, then my mind started immediately crowding with things I've said, things I've done, times I've messed up, things I've not got it right, times I've let people down, things from way back in the past and things from now. I've had a bit of a battle with that when I've been writing this, is not to be swamped with silly things I've said over the years. I don't want to fill your mind with failures this morning. That's not what it is. Please don't spend the next 20 minutes going over all the things you said at the wrong time. That's not what this morning is. But also, it's about not ignoring them, not taking them lightly, not just writing them off. What I want to do is fill our minds with hope, with God's hope, with his forgiveness, with his healing, with his restoration, and remind us that God works through us and uses us to bring his hope and glory to the rest of the world. That's what this morning's about. It's not about things we've done. It's about how God can still work through us, even though none of us are perfect. So, we're going to sort of work through the story. How did John Mark fail? Well, it tells us in Acts 13, the first verse Ernie read, that he'd spent 18 months on a missionary journey with Paul, Paul's first missionary journey, they've called it. Paul and Barnabas, and they were travelling round, and they were sharing the gospel, and they were seeing amazing things happen. And then Paul and Barnabas and everybody else were going off to Perga for the next bit of the journey. John Mark decided to go home, left them to go home. There's no reason given. It doesn't tell us if he was homesick, if he didn't like something that Paul had said, if he was scared or tired, just had something better to do. It doesn't tell us, but it does tell us that it had a big impact on Paul. Because next time they were setting out on a journey, he refused to take him with him. Verse 38 of the second bit that Ernie read in Acts 15 said, "But Paul did not think it wise to take him, John Mark, because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work." That doesn't sound like he was only ever going that far and then it was time to go home. Deserted sounds like he just left them in the lurch, was supposed to be carrying on, but for some reason had chosen not to. He'd let them down. Do you ever fail? Do you ever get things wrong? Do you ever speak out of turn? Do you ever get somebody's names mixed up? Do you ever forget important things? I spent a bit of time this week wrestling with the difference between failure and sin. Because I started off, as I was writing it, I realised I was thinking about sin. But sin is different. Failure is sometimes just making a fool of ourselves, saying the wrong thing, forgetting something. There's a difference between failure and sin. I'm not trying to overwhelm us. But we do need to look at why we do at times fail. Sometimes I think we just can't do it. It's just lack of ability. Do you know there's a reason I'm not on the church gardening team? There's a reason I'm never the one that's roped in to help when we're catering for lots of people. There's a reason those are not things that I'm especially good at. None of us are good at everything. So sometimes we fail because we just can't do it. We can't do it. You only have to look at some of the plants in my house or see the state of our garden to see that. Sometimes I think we fail because we've just not quite thought it through. Like a couple of weeks ago, I was making a cake. I thought, do you know what? I'll try it in the air fryer because we're still experimenting with our air fryer. So I made the mixture. It's a cake I've made loads of times. I only make one cake, to be fair. I'd made the cake. I'd made the mixture. I got it in the tin that I always use. Thought, great, I'll put it in the air fryer. It'll be quicker than the oven. I opened the air fryer and the tin didn't fit in because I'd not thought to check. I always make that cake in that cake tin because that's the right shape. And I just not thought to check that the tin actually fitted in the air fryer before I'd made the mixture. Do you know sometimes we fail because we've just not quite maybe thought it through? Sometimes we get it wrong. We fail because things outside our control. So, for instance, in one of my schools, I teach in the hall. It's great. Nice big space, plenty of room to move around. The floor gets a bit chilly sometimes, but we're okay. But it's a shortcut from one side of the school to the other. So sometimes, particularly if it's a wet dinner time, hordes of children come streaming through the hall. Now, my lessons are okay, fairly interesting, engaging for the kids. But when there's 50 children walking through the hall, there is nothing I can do to keep the attention of my 3-year-old sat looking at me, particularly because they're related to some of them and they know they're trooping through. So it looks like my lessons failed because the kids are just not looking at me. But that's completely out of my control. Sometimes we fail because it's just something that's beyond us. Sometimes I think we fail because we're selfish, because we think about ourselves, not other people, because we do things that suit us, because the things that's happening to us fill our minds and we don't see beyond. Sometimes we fail by not doing something, by not speaking up, by not offering to pray, by keeping something to ourselves that we should share, by not standing up for something and speaking out and saying, that's not right. Sometimes we fail because we feel scared or we feel a bit silly to speak out. Lots of different reasons. I think it's also really important to recognise that there are times we think of ourselves as failures when we're not. It's really easy to be hard on ourselves, but it's important to remember that God views success very differently to the rest of the world. It's not about possessions and status. It's about our relationship, our dependency on Him. Sometimes what the world might see as failure is not, because God sees it differently. The fabulous quote from Mother Teresa, who was interviewed a few years ago, about why she carried on putting so much into helping poor people, because there are still lots of poor people. Why do you bother, they said? Why do you bother when you're not really that successful? And she just said, you know, God didn't call me to be successful. He called me to be obedient. And that's what I'm doing. I'm getting on with doing what God's asked me to do. So sometimes we've not failed. We might think we have. We've been hard on ourselves. But actually God sees it differently. So, second point, what were the consequences of John Mark's failure? Chapter 15, verse 37 says, Barnabas wanted to take John Mark. The Glory Books website, when I was looking it up, said this: the word for wanted suggests that Barnabas was persistent and determined. It wasn't just, it would be nice to, but I really think we should. But then, verse 39 tells us there arose a sharp disagreement, so they separated from each other. That's Paul and Barnabas, two people going about God's work, seeing amazing things happen, having a sharp disagreement because they had a different opinion about what to do. Paul felt really let down by John Mark, saw him as unreliable. Paul and Barnabas couldn't decide what to do. They couldn't come to an agreement, so they split up. They broke up their partnership. They'd spent all this time working and ministering together. And this one thing split them up, meant we can't do that anymore. We're going to go our separate ways. So his failure, his mistake, didn't just affect him. It affected lots of other people as well. I think for us, failing can damage our relationship with God. We can doubt how he feels about us, how much he values us. It can make us think he's not listening to us. It can make us withdraw from him, make us feel we don't trust him as much or ask for as much or come to him with things. We can put barriers between us and God because we think we've failed, so he's not going to be as interested in us. I think it damages our relationship with ourselves. We can feel embarrassed. We feel shame and guilt, frustrated. It can affect our sense of worth. It can make us stop trying, stop offering, stop thinking we can do things. And I think it damages our relationship with others if we've let them down, if we've hurt somebody, if we've lost their trust. Ties in with some of what David was saying last week, how the devil uses everything he can to make us doubt God or to distract us from the truth. So what happened next? Well, I have to say this is a very short bit about John Mark because there is nothing in the rest of Acts, there is nothing in any other book in the Bible that tells us why John Mark went home partway through the journey. There's nothing that tells us how he felt afterwards, how he came to even be considered for the next journey. There's nothing that tells us what he did to put things right, how he rebuilt relationships, how he worked on himself to deal with what he wasn't so good at. What did he learn? We have no idea, because there is nothing that tells us. But I thought we needed to look at this bit. Do you know, one of the reasons I really like crocheting is that when I make mistakes, which I do, when I make mistakes, it is so easy to undo. Because you just take your hook out and you pull the wool and you just keep going till your mistake has vanished. And then you just do it again. But get it right the second time. I love that. I love that about crocheting, because I do make mistakes. Normally because I'm chatting or doing something else while I'm doing it. And I look back and there's some stitches not right. If only life was that easy, eh? That you could just pull it out and undo the words and change how you felt and just wipe away the effect it had on other people. Don't work like that, does it? But God knows we're not perfect. He knows we make mistakes. He knows we can't do everything. So he doesn't just leave us on our own. Let me read you a very famous verse from John's Gospel. John chapter 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Fabulous. That's whoever. That's everybody. Whoever it is. At whatever age, whatever we know. I've said this so many times from Stud here, but that is just so crucial. But you know, I love the next verse as well. Verse 17 says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but to save the world through him. God is not in the business of condemning. He's not in the business of giving us a big thumbs down. He's not wagging pointy fingers at us. He's not making us feel ashamed and embarrassed and guilty. That is not who God is. That is not how he treats us. That is not what he wants us to carry around with us. Jesus came to save us, to free us, to show us how God loves us, to show us how we're nurtured by him, to show us how he delights in us, even though we get it wrong at times. We don't know what John Mark did, but we do need to recognise and admit when we've made mistakes, when we've forgot something, when we've spoken out of turn, when we've just jumped in with both feet when we should have stopped and looked first. We need to recognise it and admit it. We need to face the consequences of what we've done. We need to repent if necessary. If it's a sin, not a mistake. I didn't need to repent that I put the cake mixture in the wrong tin. I don't think that was a sin that to be repented of, but I did need to learn from my mistake. You see how I got myself tangled up this week. Sometimes we need to apologise for what we've done to other people. We need to put things right when we can. We need to work out what went wrong and do it differently next time. I'm still trying to work out the right cake tin to put in the air fryer. Mm-hmm. It's not an easy process, is it? But it's a process to go through so we're free from the guilt and the shame and the things that we carry. It takes time and effort, but it's important we do it so it doesn't define us. We don't become those people who say, well, of course I didn't get that right because I'm stupid. I know people who say things like that, and I want to just get hold of them and say, that is not who God has made you to be. Don't just keep heaping those things on. Don't let these things define us or weigh us down or stop us from living fully as God's people. God saves and heals and restores and frees. That's why Jesus came. And if you're here today and you don't know that for yourself, then please talk to somebody. Talk to somebody afterwards and find out more about how God sees you and what he has to give you. So for John Mark, we don't know his process. We can't watch a little video of his journey to see how he came through it. But we do know what happened next. We can see what God did for his glory. We can see how he worked through this person who wasn't perfect. Firstly, there are now two missionary teams. Two teams. Paul, Barnabas worked together, travelled together, ministered together, shared the gospel together, spread God's word, and brought life to new places, and they did it together. But now, there's two teams. John Mark gets another chance, and he gets the mentoring of Barnabas, the encourager. Verse 39 says, Barnabas and John Mark sailed for Cyprus. And verse 40 says, Paul and Silas went off to Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. So now there's two teams of people travelling around, sharing the gospel, praying for people, bringing hope, freeing people, planting churches. Two groups of people instead of one. And we don't know how this happened, but we read the letters, Paul's letters, can see that John Mark and Paul were reconciled somehow. A few years later, at the end of Colossians, this book to the church in Colossae, Paul says, my fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You've received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. That's from Paul, who refused to take John Mark with him. If he comes near you, welcome him in. In the end of Philemon, it says, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. So Mark's included there as a fellow worker of Paul. Not just someone he knows that's okay, but someone who's sharing in the ministry with him somehow. The end of 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul's just sorting out his last few things and his last few ideas. And he says, Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you. Get ready. For he is very useful to me for ministry. This is John Mark that he refused to take with him. And now, a few years later on, something's happened. Because he's a fellow worker. He's useful in ministry. He's telling people to welcome them. So some sort of reconciliation. It wasn't the end. Something has happened and they've got past his failure, and there he is being useful. But more than that, he's also a close partner with Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5 says, she who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you her greetings, and so does my son Mark. It's the same Mark, John Mark. Because Mark spends a lot of time with Peter, travelling around, hearing his stories, hearing all his time with Jesus, hearing all about Peter's time as a disciple with Jesus and being there at some of those amazing events. John Mark gathers all those things together and writes the Gospel of Mark. Does that just make you go, wow? That's the same person. The same person who deserted them in the middle of a missionary trip for a reason we don't know, goes on to write a gospel that we read that tells us about Mark, tells us about Jesus. Does that give you hope? I hope it does. The church historians suggest that John Mark also helped lots of churches across Egypt. How encouraging to see how God worked through Mark throughout the rest of his life. We don't know how it happened, but we know God did it, and he does the same for us. We don't have to be defined or limited by our failures or our mistakes. We don't know what else God has planned for us and through us, but we can be sure it's far more than we can imagine. Lamentations chapter 3 says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. New every morning. We start anew with God. Let me just tell you two quick stories to finish. I didn't quite know where to put them in, but I just felt they should be in. So the first one is Eddie the Eagle, Edwards. Anybody watching Dancing on Ice? Anybody quite impressed with how he is? He's great, isn't he? It's really interesting. I think it was last week. They do these little videos of, do you know them, in their things they've done in the past and all sorts of things. And obviously they went back to the Olympics, to 1980, whatever it was, that he was in the Olympics. And he said in the video, he said people thought he'd failed by coming last. They thought it was a bit of a laughing stock that he'd gone there and he'd come last. And he said, do you know what? I knew I was going to come last. I knew when I went that I'd come last. But for me, the success was getting there. I wanted to get there. That was the achievement, to get there, to take part in the ski jumping competition on that amazing, in the fantastic Winter Olympics. People laughed a bit because he wasn't as good as some of the others. But for him, that was success because his dream was to go and he did it. I just thought that was quite interesting. And the other one is David Wilkerson, took me back. The Cross and the Switchblade was one of the first Christian books I ever read. If you've not read it, it's a fantastic read. It's about a preacher who was just from a little church somewhere in America. And he'd seen on the television about all these gangs and drug kids getting caught up in drugs in New York City. And he felt compelled by God to go, to just turn up in New York. He was so sure that God had told him to go to New York, to go to this court case, to go and be there and take Jesus into that situation. He was absolutely convinced. So he packed his stuff up and he went. He went to the court and he got thrown out. He got thrown out of court for trying to speak up at one point. And it was all on all the national news that this preacher was bundled out of the court and he went home feeling an absolute failure. I am so sure, he was saying, I'm so sure God called me to go, and yet I've gone and I'm now a laughing stock. And his church weren't impressed because he'd been on the television being manhandled by the guards out of the court, and he felt like a failure. But he carried on praying, God, I'm so sure that's what you said. God said to him, go back, go back. So he went back. Do you know, as he walked around the streets of New York City, the gangs recognised him from the television. You're that guy that was on the television. You're that preacher from the court. Why have you come to see us? And because he'd been on the television, because his moment of embarrassment of being thrown out of the court had been broadcast everywhere, they'd seen it. And because they'd seen him on the television, they came to speak to him. And he could talk to them about Jesus. And countless, countless kids became Christians and had their lives rescued and utterly transformed because God worked through him. He thought he'd misheard. He thought he'd messed up. He thought he'd got it completely wrong. But actually God had it planned in a different way. I just felt that was really important to say this morning. I just really wanted to put that story in. I hope it speaks to somebody. I just finished by saying, I hope you're encouraged to see that God isn't finished with us, whoever we are, whatever mistakes we make, what things we can do and can't do, the times we try really hard and we still get it wrong, the times we keep it to ourselves and we should have shared something. God offers us forgiveness. He offers us hope. He gives us new ways to show his love to the world. He doesn't want us to be weighed down by mistakes we've made. He wants us to be free to serve him and especially to be secure in his love for us. Let's pray. I'm going to read some words from a song we're going to sing in a minute. When condemnation grips my heart and Satan tempts me to despair, I hear the voice that scatters fear The great I am, the Lord, is here. Lord God, I pray we can hear your voice. I pray we can feel your love. I pray we can know how you delight in each of us. With a mixture of things we do well and things we can't. Lord, I pray for each of us. Lord, you know us so well. You love us beyond measure. Show us how you see us. Show us, Lord, if there's things we need to put right. And show us the things to let go of. The memories we need to stop dragging around with us. The memories that need to stop defining how we see ourselves. The memories that stop us from offering and trying. Lord, I pray for each of us, you can fill us with confidence, fill us with a sureness of your love. And I pray, Lord, that nothing will stop us from hearing from you and putting it into practice, to look to be obedient, not successful. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing.